Hi, welcome to the ProPublica podcast. I'm Mike Webb. This week we talk with reporters Marcus Stern and Sebastian Jones about their recent story called Lawmakers and Lobbyists Bond During Springsteen Concerts. The story describes how members of Congress were able to raise funds from contributors while enjoying a Bruce Springsteen concert last May at the Verizon Center in Washington, D.C. I asked Stern, who joined us on the phone from Washington, how the deal worked.
Essentially what happens here is that a lawmaker rents a box from a trade association or a trade group or a lobbying organization, and it may work out to a couple of $100s or as low as $100 a seat for these luxury boxes. They turn around, the lawmaker turns around and then gets donations of $1,000 or $2,500 per seat. So he gets to watch the concert essentially for free and go home at the end of the evening with a pocket full of checks.
Well, I guess my first question is that ethical? Does that violate any kind of congressional ethics rules?
Well, there are essentially two sets of rules. One is the FEC rules, the Federal Election Commission rules, based on the Federal Election Campaign Act. And that requires all it requires is that these members pay fair market value. It doesn't really define what fair market value is. And we found that two of these members of Congress were actually renting the boxes at about $100 a seat, because the boxes might have 18 seats in them or 22 seats in them. They all have bathrooms, they have televisions, they have wet bars and wait service. So they're pretty luxurious and pretty comfortable. It's a great way to watch a concert or a game, a basketball game. And $100 a pop for that kind of, it's probably lower than you and I would be able to arrange if we tried ourselves. But whether it's fair market value or not, I don't know.
Then let's try the other side of this. Is there a conflict of interest if the business or the trade association has business before that member of Congress's congressional committee? Sebastian?
There certainly seems to be a conflict of interest.
But legally or according to ethics rules?
You know, from what we found on both sides of it, there was nothing illegal about what was going on here. Because again, it was not the direct gift of a box. You know, the way it works out, they did it in a legal manner. Now, whether you consider that to be from a less legal standpoint on the up and up, there are different opinions about that. People in our piece discuss this. I mean, we had Bill Bradley, a former U.S. senator from New Jersey, saying that, you know, to his mind, there's no question why these kinds of events go on. But then we have, you know, a lobbyist for the American Trucking Association saying that, oh, you know, we go to the offices of these lawmakers with the facts, and that's what wins the case. And these after hours events are not really a part of it. But I mean, you know, you can see there are two opinions. But definitely from what we found, particularly with this one company, ATK, where they had a document that lays out sort of their lobbying strategy, and right on there they list fundraisers. It's clear what internally they're thinking about this. It is a tool in their efforts to try and sway lawmakers' opinions.
Well, let's explain the case of ATK.
They are an aerospace company. They're also a defense contractor. They produce bullets and small arms components. But the other side of their business is producing rockets. So they literally are rocket scientists. And in the case of our Springsteen concerts, we noticed pretty quickly that two of the lawmakers, and then a third, had gotten their boxes through ATK, had rented from ATK.
Well, let me ask this. Were you ever able to trace whether they voted in a way that was advantageous to ATK?
Well, the thing is, the budget actually has not come up for a vote yet on this matter. And so it's sort of, there's been a lot of debate, but the final vote hasn't been taken yet.
In many cases, we did find where these guys have supported legislation that their host the person who rented them the box that evening wanted. For instance, John Barrow from Georgia, he rented his box from a company, Altria, that is the parent company of Philip Morris, which is the largest cigarette maker and seller in the world. And about last year also, at the same time these concerts were going on, Congress passed a bill that regulated tobacco. It produced a bill that Philip Morris was quite pleased with, according to its own press release. And John Barrow was a proponent of that and helped negotiate the contours of that bill. So we see time and again where these guys, the lobbyists and the trade associations, are going after specific members of Congress who have jurisdiction over things they really care about. They have these nice, lavish evenings that are pretty much unavailable to other people otherwise. And lo and behold, legislation gets molded in a certain direction, even though the members of Congress deny it, that the schmoozing and the fundraising has anything to do with their decisions or actions.
Okay, but ultimately, all of this is legal. None of it seems to violate any ethical rules. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so that said, then why is this a ProPublica story?
Because this is putting the light on dynamics that lead to wasteful spending in our federal government. This is one of the reasons why Congress can't restrain itself. When you have a very thoughtful decision to cut certain programs, then you have these special interests coming along, whining and dining and feeding money toward these politicians to get those cuts reversed. It's not illegal, but it's part of a system which really could be described as honest graft. Part of the problem is that the lawmakers gerrymander the rules by which they raise money so that they can stay on the correct side of the law, on the right side of the law.
So it was worth doing to sort of show how the system is broken.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, well, guys, I want to pull back a little bit and now talk about how you put the story together. So how did you guys end up working as a team on this, and how did you segment the work?
Well, I had started on it back in December, making a round of calls just to find out where members had gotten their boxes. I wanted to know who did they rent their boxes from, or how did they get their boxes, and how much money did they raise. And that turned out to be fairly difficult. And it was a month later that I began again, and this time Sebastian joined the effort, and we started making calls to these members and emails to these members. And we were finally able to establish where they all got their boxes from and how much they paid for them. But we were never able to find out how much money they raised or from whom.
Why was it so difficult to get that information? Isn't it public record?
Well, first of all, there's no public record of who attended who held fundraisers. So had we not had access to the Sunlight Foundation's archives, their party time archives, and this is what they've been doing for more than a year now, I think, is encouraging people to send them, leak to them, copies of invitations to fundraisers. And it's the only public database at all on fundraisers. Without being able to go through that database, we would have had nowhere to start. So that was a good quick start. It gave us, maybe 12 or 15 members of Congress who clearly held fundraisers at one of these two Springsteen concerts last year. But you don't know from looking at the campaign finance reports necessarily how much they paid for the booth and who they paid for the booth. If you go to their reports and you find the Verizon Center and you find a date that's close to the time of the concert and an amount in the thousands, then you can presume that that's it, but you still need to confirm that. However, in at least half of the cases, or about half of the cases, they rented them from special interest groups, and you really don't know from looking at the campaign finance reports whether this $5,000 or $6,000 expenditure to some special interest group for a campaign event has anything to do with a Springsteen concert or not. You don't know what it's about. So you really need the lawmaker's staff to lead you to the right record and then confirm for you that that was for the Springsteen concert.
In only really one case did a lawmaker allow their staff to tell us about the event.
Who was that?
It was Elijah Cummings. And actually, Mark spoke with Mike Christensen. You can talk a little bit about just how unusual that was, Mark.
Well, first of all, yeah, I'm sure the number of phone calls and emails that we put out numbered in the hundreds over the course of time that we were trying to get people just to respond to us. And in many cases, we just got no response from staff. They just made a decision they were not going to respond to any questions about the Springsteen concert. But Elijah Cummings, a Democrat from Maryland, had a staff person who called me and talk quite candidly about the fact that most of the people, it named the people who had provided contributions that were related to that event and attended the concert. He said that they have concerns about the way this plays out, because Congressman Cummings has certain responsibilities with the Coast Guard Committee subcommittee, which he's chairman of, and most of these people have Coast Guard-related issues, including contracts with the Coast Guard. So Christensen admitted that this is hardly a perfect world. However, what he said was it's the world they have. There's nothing they can do to change it, that Congressman Cummings supports public funding of elections, of campaigns, but unless that happens, which doesn't seem likely anytime soon, he just has to go with the system that's in place.
Well, okay, guys, one last question. Were you ever able to find out how the boss feels about his shows being used in this fashion?
We were not. You know, we asked for a comment. They didn't want to discuss it. But I would say, and this was something I saw after the story came out, Ken Silverstein at Harper's had done a small blog post a few years ago about a single fundraiser at a Springsteen concert that he thought was, it was funny that, you know, here they were lobbying at sort of, in music terms, you know, the voice of the people, Bruce Springsteen. And he got a call, apparently, from John Landau, who is Springsteen's manager, saying that, oh, you know, we weren't aware of this stuff going on and something to that effect. And so I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't think our story really, we were too concerned with, you know, the complicity of Bruce Springsteen in this whole setup. But you know, I mean, it's tough. You know, he's an entertainer. He's got to make money somehow.
That's right. He's trying to sell tickets. All right. Well, Sebastian Jones in New York City, Marcus Stern in Washington, D.C. Thank you guys for joining us.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
That was Marcus Stern and Sebastian Jones discussing their reporting for the story, Lawmakers and Lobbyists Bond During Springsteen Concerts. You can read the full story on our website at ProPublica.org/Springsteen. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast, which was produced by Brent Gardner-Smith. I'm Mike Webb. We'll see you again next week.
I've been looking for a job, but it's hard to find. Down here it's just winners and losers, and don't get caught on the wrong side of that line. Well, I'm tired of coming out on this losing end. So honey, last night I met this guy, and I'm gonna do a little